Hello, this is Joshua Mack, and a few minutes with the Puritan. We're going to be spending some time today thinking about worship, which is important for us to think about and to think hard about, because really this is our number one responsibility. If we were going to sit down and say, what's the most important responsibility you have in life? Without a doubt, it would have to be your responsibility to God. And what is the most important responsibility you have when it comes to God? It's to glorify Him. It's to worship Him the way that He desires to be worshiped. And of course, there are lots of ideas out there about how to worship God. We can look around and see all kinds of people who think, I need to worship God like this, I need to worship God like this. But what we want to do is go back to the scripture and ask, how does God want us to worship Him? And so we're going back to Philippians chapter 3 specifically, alongside Richard Sibbs, who preached a series of sermons on this chapter. And he's been emphasizing the fact that God wants us to worship Him from the heart. So before we talk about what you do with your body or what you do with your mouth, we've got to talk about what's going on inside your heart. Saying that you fear God, saying that you love God, doing certain rituals without actually loving God, without actually fearing God, without actually trusting God, doesn't really honor or glorify God at all. It's actually something that He hates. In the Old Testament, He'll say things like, please stop praying until you get your heart right. Like, you're bringing all this to me and you're not sincere. He can see, right? Like, God can see your inside as well as He can see your outside. So you're not fooling Him, and we're not fooling Him by doing these external activities if our heart is not, at least we're not wanting to stir up our heart to match what we're doing on the outside. But he says, Sibbs is clear, he's like, if you are working hard on worshiping God from the heart, it's not going to stop there. Worship God in spirit, but let it be done outwardly also. Corporate worship together with other believers, all that stuff we do really does matter and really does bring honor and glory to God when we're doing it from sincere hearts. He says, first, bring your heart and intention to what you do, and that will stir up the outward man to its duty. But how? How do we stir up our hearts, get our hearts flow in the right direction, so that when we gather together with the church, we are really going to be doing so sincerely. He gives five directions, and the fifth is the longest. We'll see if we get there. But he says, first, learn to know God aright. For worship is answerable to knowledge. For how can we reverence God aright when we know neither His goodness nor His greatness? How can we trust on God when we see not His truth in the performance of His promises, in the scriptures, and in our own experience? Those that do not these know not God. For as the heart affects according to knowledge, so also it is true in divinity. As we know His justice, we shall fear. As we know His mercy, we shall love Him. As we know His truth, we shall trust Him. They that know Thy name shall trust in Thee, Psalm 9:10. And in other places of the same psalm, the Lord is known in the judgment He executes, verse 16. So if this is really our most important responsibility, to worship God sincerely, then our most important pursuit really is to know God. If somebody says, how do I be excited about some beautiful mountain view? I don't know. You would say, look at it. Like, first you got to look at it. How do I love my wife better? Know my wife better? God is beautiful. That's just the reality. And so if our hearts are going to be affected by God's glory, then let's start out by looking at God's glory. A small superficial knowledge of God is going to produce small superficial worship. And yet, this, of course, is something that we have to pursue. It's crazy how our minds will happily pursue a knowledge of all kinds of trivial things and just start to get really slow and bogged down and lazy when it comes to thinking hard about God. And sometimes you'll meet Christians who almost act like they know all there is to know about God. And you want to say to yourself, when you're acting like that, what are you doing? What are you talking about? God is ultimately incomprehensible. His thoughts are way above our thoughts. And so you can spend literally all of eternity pursuing a greater knowledge of God, and you're just going to be, there's going to be an infinite amount of knowledge for you to continue to enjoy and learn if there were an end to eternity. But of course, there's not. So this is going to be our constant pursuit, and it needs to begin now. If we're going to worship God sincerely, we've got to work at knowing God and seeing God. And of course, the way we do that right now is by praying that His Holy Spirit would open up our eyes so that we could see His glory, especially in the Scripture. Second, he says, know God to be the first mover and cause of all. And I think what he's saying here is that as you go about your day, recognize that God really is active. Like, activate your faith in a sense and open up your eyes to the fact that God is involved in your life, whether you feel it or like it or not. I think one of the things that's happened in our culture nowadays is that God sort of feels very distant to many of us. But if he feels distant, that feeling is wrong, because he is involved in everything that happens in our day. Men ordinarily fear the creature, attributing that to it which belongs to the Creator. So you look at somebody and he's scared of a person, or he honors a person. And so often what's happening is he's giving that person power that only God has. And as a result, his heart is filled up with fear or reverence for that person, when if he were thinking correctly, his heart would be filled up with fear and reverence for God. I think of how Paul tells wives to respect their husbands or submit to their husbands as they would to the Lord. And what's he saying there? He's saying, okay, you know, God's given your husband this particular position of leadership in the home, but you need to almost see past your husband, because it's not about your husband. Ultimately, it's about your relationship with the Lord. And so you relate to your husband in a certain way because you're looking past your husband to God, and your action towards your husband is a way of honoring God. And that's just like one example, of course. But he's saying, know God. Think about God when you're going about your day. He says, God is the one who's in charge of everything. And Christians look on the secondary means as to the first author and ground of all the rest. They behold the magistrate as in God. Fear them no otherwise but in the Lord. So again, when we go before a judge, we respect the judge, but it's not because of the robe he's wearing, or just because like we're so scared to be in court. It's because we know, God's involved here. God's placed this person in this position, and so I trust that that's why he has the authority that he has, and I'm going to respect him because I respect God. Atheists, they will not stick at any sin whatsoever to get the love of those that may bring them any worldly commodity. That's a interesting sentence, and I'm not actually sure about his English, how he's speaking about sticking at any sin, but I think he is saying that they won't, they will do whatever it takes to get somebody else to give them something. They're not afraid to do any sin if it moves them forward. A Christian, though, he pleases and seeks the love of him that can make enemies friends when he desires and when it's for our good. He knows in him we live, move, and have our being. So the unbeliever is looking at people, and he is controlled by, like, how do I get these people to give me what I want? And a Christian's very, very different. He just wants to please God, because he knows that God is the one who's ultimately in charge of his life. And so, but we have to work at remembering that, like, as we just do our stuff, we need to be thinking daily, what if God were present? Because he is. What if God is involved in my life right now? Because he is. And this, as we start to do everything we do looking to God, eating to the glory of God, talking to the person in the store to the glory of God, driving to the glory of God, we're stirring our hearts up to actually worship God. Even as we come to worship on Sunday, we can think about all the different ways that God has been involved in our lives. And that's even a good way to end your day or begin your day. You think about, okay, Lord, what did you do in my life yesterday? What are you teaching me? And of course, he is doing things in your life and he is teaching you. And so you just want to learn to notice it, because so often we're just living as if God were far away when he's not. Third, make much of spiritual means. God, he works by means, by his word. Attend to it. It works love, fear, joy, and reverence in us. And therefore, no marvel, it's not so surprising, if those that neglect those means are not acquainted with these graces of God's Spirit. So you want your outward worship to really be sincere, then you need to be worshiping God privately, and you want to be going to his word to find reasons to worship God. And so sometimes people get funny and they're like, well, I don't see that, you know, you have to read your Bible every day and you're just being legalistic when you talk about it like that. And it's just like, what are you talking about? I want to love God, you know. I want to know God, and this is a place God reveals himself, and I have a Bible, and I have the ability to read, and I have the Holy Spirit, so I want to go to the Bible as much as I possibly can to hear from God and to see God and the glory of God. And so when you study the Bible, you're not just doing this like 20-minute thing to be able to check off a box and be like, hey, look at me, I'm a good person, I read my Bible. That'd be like, oh, I talked to my wife for 20 minutes a day, aren't I a good husband, check that off the box. Like, that doesn't even make sense. You talk to your wife if it's going to mean anything, because you want to love your wife, because you want to know your wife, because you want to have a relationship with your wife. And that's why you're going to the Word of God, because, you know, this is the place where God speaks. And as you go to the Word of God, what you want to be doing is looking hard for what you can worship God about as a result of what you're seeing there. So when you study in the morning, be asking, what does this tell me about God? How does it show me the glory of God? And then fourthly, and this I guess will be the last one for now, but if you're going to worship God sincerely and then have it flow from your heart to your actions, ask God for help. He says, lift up your heart to Christ, the quickening spirit. Our hearts naturally are dead. Christ is our life. When you are most especially called to love, to fear, to humility, pray to him to move you and yield yourself to him. And then you shall pray in spirit. So before you come to church, to corporate worship, are you asking the Spirit of God to work in a way that is really impossible for you on your own? I certainly have been thinking about that a lot with preaching, to think, man, I work all week to prepare this message, but really, if it's going to have any impact, it's not going to be my ability as a teacher. It's going to be a result of a supernatural work of God. And so am I asking God, like, passionately, please revive us, use your word to glorify your son? And also, you know, as you are crying out to God that you could worship him when you gather together with the church, you should be crying out to God that you would worship him as you just live your life every day. You don't want to just be sincere on Sunday, like, oh, I'm all about God on Sunday. You want to be about God as you go to work on Monday. He says, do outward works of your calling in spirit, for a true worshiper will out of spiritual grounds do all outward works of his particular calling, as well as the works of his general Christian vocation. Let us therefore do all things from our hearts to God and to our neighbor. Else will not God accept our works. It is the Jew inwardly who shall have the praise of God. The lack of this sincerity has extinguished the light of many a glorious professor, and thereby hath brought a great scandal upon the true worshipers of God in spirit. And so there have been many people who show up on Sunday, but they're not thinking about how to honor God throughout the week. And that's not going to last long. And what that's going to do in the end is really bring a lot of shame to God. And so we want to, if there's anything we want to do well, it's worship God. We want to be a church that really is glorifying God in a big way as we gather together corporately. And if that's going to happen, of course, first it starts with this miraculous work where God saves us and we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. But also, we're going to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And that means we're going to seek to worship him from the heart. And Sibs here gives us these five ways to do that. I got to four of them. But work at knowing God rightly. Think about God as you're going about your day. Use what God's given you to enjoy him. And ask for his help.